I'm just going to say this. The one wild card in this conversation is the one sitting to my left right now, Corey Beth.
Let's go.
The most energetic, fit, and stress-resilient people on the planet practice daily habits to keep their hormones balanced, their gut healthy, and their muscles and mind strong. Welcome to That Fitness Couple. We're Mike and Corey Beth Lepowski, founders of Pure Physique.
This podcast is designed to provide you with everything we've discovered and continue to discover about nutrition, training, and lifestyle. Today, we all live hectic lives.
So we've made it our mission to make your fitness time efficient and to build you up. Hope you share and enjoy. Let's dive into today's episode.
Let's go.
All right, guys. Well, welcome back to the show. Today, we have a special guest, Kerry Mann. And, you know, I found Kerry's YouTube channel and immediately was drawn in. You know, we are talking carnivore today, but we got a few other topics to discuss also. And I'm just going to say this. The one wild card in this conversation is the one sitting to my left right now, Corey Beth. Because I knew that with Kerry and his family homesteading, that if we go too deep on this topic, we just might find ourselves on a homestead, because I think that's pretty much Corey Beth's dream.
It's very likely. Kerry, I cannot wait for you to share this information.
So, I was just going to say, careful what you wish for, but...
So Kerry, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, I was just going to say, careful what you wish for. Homesteading is great, but don't get boy goats like we did. That was a big mistake.
Okay, why?
They get into everything. You can't do any projects outside. They're climbing up on you. We've got an Airbnb rental and we had the guests call us not too long ago. And they're like, your goats walked up the steps and they're banging their head on the patio door out there, the glass door. So could you come get the goats, please? They're very entertaining, but you want girl goats. You can get goat milk and good stuff like that and make your own soap and things. There's boy goats don't have too many uses, but.
Amazing. It's amazing. Well, listen, I think that you have a pretty fascinating story. So why don't we just start there? I mean, give everybody some background on who you are, where you're from, and how we arrived to where we are.
Absolutely. So yeah, my name is Kerry. I'm from central Wisconsin. And I've been doing a carnivore diet or proper human diet for just about 1 year now. And prior to doing the diet, I was, I guess, a shell of the human being I am now. I was 100 pounds heavier at my heaviest. And I just had all sorts of illnesses. I had sleep apnea I was diagnosed with. I was using a CPAP machine. I had arthritis in my back and shoulders. And I had it so bad in my foot, they said it was gout for about 18 months before I started carnivore. I could barely step down on my foot. They wanted to do surgery. The worst of it for me, I was also diagnosed with IBS, insomnia, but the worst of it for me was the depression and mental health issues. I suffered from depression and anxiety for most of my adult life. I tried every single medication, did exactly what I was told for years and years and years, and nothing ever touched my depression until I found the proper human diet. And I was on so many pills. I don't have them with me, but I show people my pills. I was on like 15 different medications at one time for depression, anxiety, statins, IBS, arthritis. And as of right now, I am on zero pills. I'm completely medication free. And I guess the last thing I'll say is I was so hopeless for so long. That's why I'm so passionate about carnivore. I was so depressed and so hopeless for so long. And I would have given anything to I just want to be normal. Like I see my friends and family. I just want to be at a baseline. But what's actually happened over the course of the last year is I am flipped from whatever that pure hopelessness was. I'm the opposite of that now. Like life is so much better. I'm full of joy. I've got a default smile on my face, and it's just been incredible. And the number of stories I've heard over the last year similar to mine has been really eye-opening for me.
You know, going on to your channel, you see that you've done a lot of interviews with a lot of other people who obviously have been inspired by what's transpired with you and you sharing your story, which I think is incredible. In fact, you know, within the realm of our business, our core focus is on building people up. And I think that's what's inspiring about you and your story is that everything is really helping other people. And you see these people making massive changes in their life. And so to hear the stories of people like yourself who've lost 100 pounds and it's not even been a full year yet, which is absolutely incredible. But I know in some of your other interviews as well, people just making these tremendous changes. I want to just stay on carnivore for a moment because definitely want to get into the homesteading as well. But What I'd love to know is, of all the changes that you've made, what do you feel has been the most significant change?
Well, like now as a carnivore, I'm exercising, I'm getting fresh air, I'm doing all of these things. But really the most significant thing is my nutrition and the food I'm eating. And I love to simplify things. At first, when I started this, I'm like, I'm just going to eat meat for 30 days. Like, that's insane. There's no way that's sustainable. But I'd done keto over the years, so I understood it. I'm like, well, it makes sense. There's just no way that that's even possible. And so how I approached it was not that I'm going to eat meat for 30 days or 60 days, but rather I'm going to eliminate all of this crazy food that I've been eating up until this point. Sugar, which is highly inflammatory, seed oils, toxins and dyes and pesticides and herbicides. And half these things I'm looking on the box, I don't even know what the ingredients are. I'm like, for 30 days, I'm just going to eliminate all of that. So I kind of played a little trick on myself and said, instead of saying I'm not going to eat meat, I just said I'm going to kind of do this elimination diet. So for me, it's really been the nutrition. But if I simplify it more than that, I think it's just returning to what's natural for humans. That's been kind of one of my big carnivore epiphanies over this last year. It seems like we've, as humanity, we've gotten so far away from what is natural for humans, mainly in the foods we're eating, but also just our everyday activities. We're not getting exercise. We're not getting sunlight. We're not getting fresh air, sitting under fluorescent lights, scrolling through our phones all day. So I think that's been the biggest thing for me is returning to what is natural for humans.
Well, and for you, I think it's interesting. Why 30 days? Like, why did you pick that number?
I could kind of wrap my brain around it. And I started going down the rabbit hole. I saw a video from a man named Dante from Frigno Freedom, and he was doing the lion diet. And that's how I was introduced to this. Honestly, I don't even know if I really knew what carnivore was. I would have been like, I don't know, is that like that Liver King guy or something? I really didn't know exactly what it was. But I saw this Dante guy doing it. And then I watched a bunch of videos from Dr. Ken Berry and Dr. Anthony Chafee and all these other doctors. And I think a lot of them were recommending 60 days. It was kind of hard for me to wrap my brain around. But I said to myself, I could do anything for 30 days. I can do an elimination diet for 30 days. And I even told myself, after 30 days, I'm going to reintroduce. I'm going to start having some salad and some low-carb vegetables. I'm just going to do low-carb right after this. Because I had done keto on and off for years prior to this. But yeah, that was what I said. And we touched on the homestead a little bit. I'm a YouTuber for years now, like almost 9 years. And most of it's been homesteading. But I did this for 30 days. And the results that I got just in the first 30 days was absolutely incredible. I'm like, I'm just going to do one video on my homesteading channel, completely unrelated. Like, hey, I'm doing this carnivore diet. If you guys are wondering why I'm looking a lot healthier, here's what's happened. And I put that video on my channel. It went absolutely crazy. And the thing that really stood out was all the comments I got. I think the video has like 800,000 views right now. And I got so many comments from people that are like, I know exactly what you're saying. I did the same thing and I'm experiencing the same results. I started getting comments too from folks that were like in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. They're like, I've been doing carnivore for a couple of years now. It's just changed my life forever. And it really opened my eyes. But the 30 days I could wrap my brain around. And I also was just like, I'm going to just go back to moderation, which is a word I hate. I absolutely hate that word. I'm going to go back to moderation after the 30 days, but I felt so incredible. I'm like, I'm going to give it another 30 days. Let's go to 60 and see what happens. And here we are at a year. I'm still going.
Amazing. Congratulations. I love that so much. And let's actually go to moderation. You shared on Sean Baker's podcast how you don't believe in moderation. And it's something we hear from people all the time. It's almost like the easy way out, like everything in moderation, you know, a little alcohol. Can you talk a little bit to that? Because I loved your point of view.
I get so many people that hear what I'm doing and they're like, you're crazy. Why don't you just eat in moderation like a normal person? And my argument to that is the foods that humanity is eating, the majority of humanity, shouldn't be consumed in moderation. I really believe like some people have different levels. Like I've heard Dr. Berry talk about people have the carb dial and they can have some blueberries or some raspberries or something. Some people have a carb switch. I don't know what the truth is there. I just know for myself, and I can only speak for myself, I have a switch. I can't have any sugar, even if I had some raspberries or something like that, that's going to convert in my body to glucose or sugar, I'll go off the rails. And when people say just eat in moderation, I treat it now like I guess the best analogy is if I was an alcoholic my entire life, I'm 43 years old and I quit alcohol, why would I go back and just like, oh, I'm doing wonderful now. My whole life is improved. Like everything has changed. I was suicidally depressed for a good part of my adult life. All of that's gone. My life is a million times better. Now I'm just going to go have some alcohol in moderation or some cocaine in moderation, or you could have rat poisoning in moderation and you might be okay if you have just a little bit of it, but why would you want to do that? And for me, sugar is an addictive drug. We've normalized it. The fact that we give it to kids and there's cartoon characters on cereal boxes and they're told breakfast is the most important meal of the day and we get them hooked young and they're a lifelong sugar consumer, I really think is something we're going to look back on a couple of years from now and be like, what were we doing? That is just insane. Yeah, the moderation thing I get really fired up about too, just because I did keto on and off for years from a documentary that I found about 10 years ago called Fathead on Netflix. It was the first time I learned about the ketogenic diet. And it was the only thing that ever touched my depression and anxiety a little bit, but I could never maintain it. And at one point, I didn't lose this much weight, but I lost a ton of weight. And I have a picture of me and my wife. And I remember that day, I'm like, I am never going to gain this weight back. I'm going to just go back into moderation. I'm going to do it right now. And it was a couple months later, I gained all the weight back and a lot more. And I did that yo-yo over and over again. And I think a big reason is because in my head, I had this thing like, I'm just going to moderate now. But unfortunately, I believe most of the food that's available now is not appropriate for moderation. It would just feed the addiction I had to sugar.
I would largely agree with that. And I think what's interesting too is we also have sat on that keto side of things and had some great results and even had clients of ours who started following it and everybody's intermittent fasting, right? And everything just feels so good for a period of time. And there's just such a difference though, such a gap between carnivore and keto. And I don't think people actually recognize that because when you first explain carnivore to people, they're like, oh, you're just doing a keto diet. It's like,
right.
Yeah, but not really. And it's, I think when you tie that together with your point around moderation, what happens oftentimes with people doing keto is that they're still allowing way too many things in that are addictive, things that don't line up with our physiology. And we think it's okay because it's high fat. And looking back when we were first doing it, right, you start off really diligent and you're doing everything exactly as it's laid out. You're seeing this result. And then it's like,
oh, I can make keto chocolate cake and bombs. And these are delicious.
And you start letting those things back in because it makes you feel normal that right. You get to do the things that you used to do. You get to indulge. And it's just really interesting how you make that transition. But it's not until you do something which in the eyes of most people is extreme, that being carnivore, that you're like, oh, this is what normal feels like.
Right. 100%. Same thing for me on keto. And I absolutely, I hate it when I go to the grocery store or Costco or wherever and you see these keto snacks and treats because I fell into that trap over and over again. And you look at the ingredients on these. Like if you're doing true keto, I believe it should be like one ingredient. Foods. I'm almost back to carnivore now, but so many of those keto snacks are full of seed oils. You eat them and you're inflamed and they're full of artificial sweeteners and your body's like, ooh, sugar's coming in again. And it's such a shame, especially for someone that's trying so hard on keto. And they're like, that says keto friendly on it. It says low carb on it and sends you down the wrong path. For me, I got to a point with carnivore where it seems so extreme to most people, but then like I said, I like to think about it. I'm just eating natural, proper foods that humans were intended to eat. I've been so blessed. We're doing this documentary, Healing Humanity, all about eating a proper human diet. And I've got to interview Dr. Chafee. We just went and filmed with Dr. Ken Berry a couple of weeks ago, who's like my hero. He's one of the first people that I ever saw talking about the carnivore diet. But one of the things that he was talking about was if you look at every species of animal on Earth, and scientists don't even know how many species there are. There's millions of them, but every one of them has an intended diet. Like a koala bear eats eucalyptus, a lion eats gazelles, a cow eats grass. And humans with our big brains, we're the only ones that overcomplicate this so much and feel this crazy need that we have to go to a grocery store and have 60,000 different products to choose from. We have to go down the ketchup aisle and there's 47 different types of ketchup. It's like, who are we that we need 47 different types of ketchup? It is kind of crazy. it seems like what we're doing is extreme until you really start thinking about it more in some of the terms like that. And just what's crazy about just eating natural, proper foods that humans have eaten since the start of time? We're just not putting all that crazy stuff in anymore. There was a point for me that on carnivore that was different from keto for me, where I stopped eating food for pleasure and entertainment. It's just like I'm eating for sustenance. I'll eat a big fatty ribeye or a steak or some eggs, and I'm full. And sometimes I'll forget to eat. And I don't know if that I don't know if that ever happened to me on keto. For keto, it was still like, this is working. It seems kind of sustainable. But I would always end up going down the wrong path with the keto snacks and the treats and kind of eating for pleasure again, which is almost like a drug. I mean, if you're doing something and the only reason you're doing it is because you're getting amusement or pleasure out of it and there's no other benefit, in my mind, I'm like, I don't know how that's much different than just doing a drug for some temporary pleasure.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And, you know, I know that you talk too about breakfast being the most important meal of the day, or so we're told by our parents and our grandparents and so on. What say you to that?
The food industry, you know, Jimmy Dean's with wanting to sell more sausages and Kellogg's with more cereal. They're the ones who actually termed it as being the most important meal of the day. But most of us fare just fine, you know, getting up and maybe just having a cup of coffee or tea and going on with our day.
Yeah, it's kind of eye-opening, that whole thing. I went down a rabbit hole on breakfast is the most important meal of the day, and there's a lot of things, a lot of evidence out there that like Kellogg's just paid millions of dollars back in the day to put that, plaster that everywhere in magazines and newspapers and all over the place. And it always drove me nuts because I'd get up and I was never hungry for breakfast. I'm like, I really got to eat something. Grandma's telling me it's the most important meal of the day. Mom's telling me it's the most. And then I would eat something and then you'd be in a hurry and you'd have something probably bad for you, like cereal or Pop-Tarts or something. And then you think about it. Well, what happens? There's sugar in there. I'm addicted to sugar. 2 hours later, my blood sugar, ooh, I'm hungry again. And all day you're just eating, and you're just feeding that sugar addiction. And the fact that we do it to kids too, it just drives me insane because they're lifelong sugar consumers. That's an incredible amount of money. I rag on sugar a lot, but I really feel like it's probably one of the biggest industries out there. If you account for the fact that it's literally in almost every product in the grocery store, it's just a huge industry. And if you demonize meat, what are people going to do? They're going to all have some salad or something, and then they're back to carbs and sugar and all the stuff that's in the grocery store.
To your point, what you were saying before about drugs, right? Well, we can demonize alcohol and say, look at how this damages people's lives. Look at what it's done to this family. We could say that about all different types of drugs. And yet sugar is by far and away the most addictive drug there is on this planet. But we don't put it in the same category because it's food. And
it's
unlike
great.
Those,
let's give our kids lollipops, you know, right? Like they were good.
But unlike those other drugs, you know, food, we all have to eat food. We can't live without food. We need food. And because it falls into that particular category, we say that, well, you know, this type of food, this drug in moderation is okay. All the others, definitely not. But this one, you're good.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. For me, I'm like, I think it gets down to defining what food is, and somehow sugar gets a complete pass as food. I was just listening to a podcast the other day, and the guy was talking about something similar. Like, yeah, we have to eat food. I'm like, well, we just need to define what food is, because in my definition, most of the stuff in the grocery store that contains sugar isn't food. But it's crazy how it just gets a complete pass. And the things I've been learning doing this documentary is like having proper metabolic health is one of the most important things individuals can do. Prior to doing carnivore, I don't know if I ever even heard a doctor mention metabolic health to me. It was always cholesterol. You're eating meat, you're going to clog your arteries. And as part of our documentary, I've got to interview some really smart people. You guys had Dr. Philip Avadia on your channel, which was awesome. And he's one of the experts in our documentary too. And he was so passionate about proper metabolic health for heart disease. And then I interviewed Dr. Tony Hampton. He was so passionate about proper metabolic health for type 2 diabetes. And then more recently, I had Professor Thomas Seyfried. He's a cancer researcher for 30 years. He's like screaming about proper metabolic health. Cancer is a metabolic disease with metabolic treatments. I'm like, wow, all these people are talking about the same thing. Why didn't I ever hear about this? Philip Avadia said, you're 6 times more likely to suffer from heart disease if you have poor metabolic health versus if your cholesterol numbers are off. But nobody cares about it. Nobody's concerned about it. It gets a complete pass, kind of similar to sugar. It's just normal. We've always had sugar, so it's just fine. But there are so many issues caused by sugar downstream. And from what I learned from Professor Seyfried, having that chronic inflammation from eating sugar for years and years and decades causes a lot of cancers, in his opinion. Chronic inflammation for years and years can lead to cancer. What are most of us chronically inflamed from? It could be from smoking, but I know prior to starting carnivore, I was chronically inflamed from the food I was eating over and over again. So
then there's also the consideration, too, of the other foods that inflame us that maybe we're not aware of, because you made a great point. Most of what we see in the supermarket is not real food, yet the things that we consider to be real food that are also not real food, such as so many of the fruits and vegetables that we now see, which are all treated with glyphosate and they're
genetically engineered.
Exactly. Yeah. Like these, most of these vegetables and fruits of these sizes in particular do not exist.
Cotton candy grapes are not from nature.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's a big argument I always get too. What about fruit? And I'm like, the fruit you look at today is nothing like the fruit even decades ago. It's like you said, it's been genetically modified. An apple used to be like a little crab apple on a tree like this. Now it's this big and it tastes like a piece of candy. If I were to eat an apple right now, I guarantee you, hour and a half, 2 hours from now, it'd be like my fix. Where's my next sugar coming? I need a granola bar. I need something. And yeah, the other thing you mentioned too, the pesticides, herbicides, glyphosate, they're putting this appeal stuff around the apple so it doesn't oxidize quicker. It's like so far away. I like to simplify it again. It's so far away from what is natural. The thing for me too is I did keto really strict for a while. I would fall off with the keto snacks, but there was a period of a year where I was almost plant-based. I was having a salad for lunch, a salad for dinner, low-carb vegetables, a little bit of protein because I was scared of the protein. And my stomach was so messed up with IBS and all of these issues. And the thing with like the pesticides, those just get a complete pass. People are like, oh, I sprinkled some water on it. But I've seen so many studies on this recently where they'll take fruits or vegetables, they'll extract the juice out. It's full of pesticides. They're like, there's enough pesticides extracted from that vegetable that you could put it on another one and it'll still be good. And people just eat it and they're like, I'm sure it's fine. They're saying it's okay, but it's getting worse and worse and further away from what is natural. It's it's a tricky thing. People always say that to me, well, what about my fruit? Can I just do fruit or vegetables? And I'm like, you can do whatever you want. I'm not telling anyone what to do. This is what I'm doing. And I'm never eating fruit or vegetables again. I'm carnivore for life. I get everything I need, all of the nutrients, macro, micro, everything I need, I get from meat. I've never felt better. I have more energy now than I have ever have in my entire life. I mean, I guess if I was like really old and I could get some fruit or vegetables that was grown in proper soil with nutrients in it, pesticide-free, glyphosate-free, then maybe. But even then, I still say, well, why would I do that if I can get everything from the meat and I'm not eating for entertainment anymore? I know it's such an extreme thing. It's hard for people to wrap their brains around, but I was in such a dark place before. I'm like, I'm not monkeying with this at all. People are like, can I just do this? I'm like, you do whatever you want. I'm just not doing it for my own reasons because I have a pretty big why as to I don't want to go back to where I was before.
Well, I think it's amazing. And just a quick side note, we actually had an event at one of our gyms where I bought organic apples for the members. And one ended up in our fruit drawer. And my kids don't like green apples. So, you know, the red would take the place and then they'd clear them out. We'd buy them again. Well, just the other day, I was like, I think one of those green apples is still in the fruit drawer. We have a 5-month-old apple still sitting, still completely intact. I will send you a picture.
Wow.
I'm like, this is not normal. There is nothing normal about it. But let's eat that and put that in our bodies. And you know what? Maybe they won't even have to embalm us later because we'll totally preserve ourselves just by what we're eating. It's crazy.
Well, how about also your little tomato experiment?
Oh, yeah.
You talk about a peel.
So I had a tomato that I just let sit out, you know, and natural sunlight would go around the house. And it's funny. My mom was helping with the boys, our children at that point. And she was like, is this like a science experiment? Like, why is this tomato still sitting? And I was like, yeah, it is. And it sat for how many weeks? I think it was 7 weeks.
And it didn't barely change. Look different.
It didn't mold. It didn't wilt. It didn't anything. And I was like, and the crazy thing is I reached out to the supermarket and said, hey, are you guys using a peel? And they were like, well, like you'd have to actually contact the farms because we don't really know. And they gave me a list of like 57 farms. And I'm like, do you expect me to call 57? Like, you can't just tell me what's on my food. And they couldn't. And that's where I was like, I'm freaked out by this stuff.
Yeah. That reminds me of the fast food. I don't know if you've ever seen where people take McDonald's and they'll set it off in a corner and like 10 years later, it looks exactly the same. It can't be good for you.
But it's a dollar, right? Like, let's just eat it.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, we hope you're enjoying our show and finding it valuable. If you could do us a quick favor, it would mean the world to us. Please take a moment to rate and review our podcast on your favorite platform. Your reviews help us reach more people and share our message. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Thanks for being awesome and supporting us. Now, back to the show. Talk to us about your family. So you have a really interesting and beautiful family. You have triplets and another child. So you have four children. One of them was vegan for a period of time. And then your wife, too, I think you mentioned, was vegetarian as well.
That's right. Yeah. So I have triplets plus one, all girls. I'm the only man in the family.
God bless you.
Yeah. Well, when I started carnivore, my daughter Lily was just turned 18. She's the older one, not the vegan. And she was suffering for so long. She had open heart surgery at age 13. And then she was put on some medication for having her period. She was put on birth control pills at a young age, which in retrospect was the most foolish thing we ever went along with. They were like, this is happening. All these girls at younger ages are getting their periods worse and worse, and endometriosis and all of these things are getting worse and worse. It's perfectly normal. There's a small chance she should get a blood clot. Well, about a year later, she got two blood clots in her lungs and she was minutes away from dying. She collapsed in the house. Her face was white. Her lips were purple. In retrospect, I really believe that if she was eating a proper human diet, her monthly cycles would have been normal. You guys had Dr. Kiltz on your podcast too, which was awesome. I asked him all these questions about my daughter, Lily. He's like, if she was eating just a proper human diet, putting the right foods in, she probably wouldn't have all these crazy hormonal imbalances that lead to these bad periods every month that led to them suggesting putting her on that medication. But anyways, all of those things aside, for Lily, for about 5 years, she had this skin condition. It's called HS. It looks like acne, but it's incredibly painful all over her chest, all over her back. And on my first 2 weeks in carnivore, I told Lily, I'm like, well, I guess real quick, we took her to every dermatologist in Wisconsin, like five different ones, the most expensive one specialist. They gave her creams, they gave her pills, nothing worked. She was coming to us at one point. She's like, this hurts so bad. These doctors aren't doing anything. I don't want to be alive anymore. I'm just constant pain. And none of them ever mentioned nutrition, by the way. Anyways, when I was on carnivore, I said to Lily, I was like, maybe you should just do this with me for a while and see what happens. Maybe this is just a reaction. Like, people eat peanuts, they're allergic to peanuts, they have a reaction. Maybe you're just having a reaction to the food you're eating. We've never explored that before. She did carnivore with me on day 8, half of her back cleared up. And by day 30, all the HS after 5 years of suffering was completely gone. It was like gone, like none of it left anymore. I was like, then I got really fired up about carnivore from that for my daughter. And yeah, subsequently after that, my other daughter, Emma, one of the triplets, she was vegan for 5 years, really suffering, fatigue, going to bed at 5:30 at night, just looking bad and just not feeling good at all, depressed and anxious. People are like, you forced her to do this. I didn't even tell her. She's like, she saw my results, she saw Lily's results, she saw these YouTube videos I was watching. And so Emma, she decided to do it. We actually filmed it on my YouTube channel the first time she ate an egg, and she almost started crying. She was like, this tastes so good. And she just went in it full on. Like, she's eating fatty ribeyes and everything and absolutely thriving. She's like a completely different person. She's full of energy. Her face cleared up. Like, she had teenage acne and things like that. And she's actually, right now, I'm coming up on 1 year. My wife also tried carnivore for a while, but she jumped in too quick. Now she's doing really strict keto. She's trying to get back into it. But my whole family of six, four of us are carnivore and two of us are keto, mostly ketovore, pretty close to carnivore. So it's kind of amazing. It's really nice too, because it was really hard cooking meals when we have six different people eating six different diets. One's vegan, one's intermittent fasting, one's doing keto. So we're all kind of eating together again too, which is great.
That's an incredible story about your daughter. And you know what? You made mention that when she ate that egg, right? And she starts tearing up and it tastes amazing. You said something earlier also though about, you know, I don't eat for pleasure anymore. I don't need to eat for pleasure, but I'll be honest with you. Me sitting down with a ribeye is very much eating for pleasure. I mean, there is nothing I enjoy more than in the middle of the afternoon, lunchtime, cooking up a big fat ribeye, woofing that thing down. And like, I feel like I'm in heaven. But the biggest difference between that and, you know, even how we got into carnivore, our lunches were always a big salad, berries, grilled chicken, olive oil. And after that meal, I would literally have to lay down on the couch because my stomach would be in knots. Sometimes my workday was done after that. It would literally take me between 12 and 18 hours to recover from that meal. And on the times where it wasn't that extreme, it would just be feeling exhausted afterwards.
Yeah.
Now sit down, have that ribeye, eggs, energy.
You move on.
All throughout the day.
Right. Yeah. That's a really good point. I know I'm kind of hypocritical that way because I love eating a good ribeye too. I kind of look at it more like It's not an addiction. It's more of an appreciation. That's my cop out on it. But I absolutely get a big smile on my face and love every time I get to eat a ribeye. I've got this new mantra where I'm like thankful, grateful, blessed. Every time I eat like the first bite of the steak too, I do. I put my hands in the air like I'm celebrating. I absolutely love it. I'm so thankful for it. It's like my body, our bodies are more in tune, it seems like, on carnivore, where my body's like, dude, finally, you figured it out. Just keep giving me more of that and everything will be good. And it's like, even with the salt, putting the salt on, it's like I'm really in tune with my body and what it wants now.
I mean, I agree with you completely. I was a big supplement taker my entire life. Like we have a drawer, you know, and it's for sickness and illness and fever and all the things, but also like supplements. And I just said to Mike this morning, I was like, son of a gun. There was something to that. Like I felt the need when I was doing the big salads and everything. I'm like, I needed focus pills. I needed this. I needed that. It's so strange. I'm like, once in a while, like I'll take something for like a mood elevator, like a nootropic, you know, and that's all good. But do you feel the same way too, where you're like, you don't really need anything else?
Yeah, it's crazy. I did some electrolytes when I first started the first couple of weeks. If I do like a big workout every now and then, I'll take some electrolytes, but I'm not taking anything, no vitamins, no supplements, nothing. It's just meat. That's it. I am doing a lot more that's helping as well that I never did my entire life before this, like getting outside early in the morning, getting sunlight in my eyes nice and early, exercising, fresh air, things like that. But yeah, it's pretty much just meat and just being natural.
Amazing. Walk us through what a typical day looks like for you and that getting up and then what your meals look like through a general day.
Yeah, well, it's been tricky here in Wisconsin with our winter. But before this, every single morning I would get up. I leave my curtains open and my sleep issues over the years were horrible. I was with a depression. I was diagnosed with insomnia. So there's sometimes when I wouldn't even sleep. So that's one of the most important things to me. And one of the things I learned is just how important it is to get sunlight in your eyes first thing, not your phone, not artificial light, not the bathroom light. So I'll actually leave my curtain open. And when the sun comes through, that's when I wake up. Sometimes it's 5 a.m, depending on the time of the year. And I'm doing so many things now that I would have deemed kind of crazy before. Maybe they are crazy. I don't know, but I like them, like the grounding thing. So I literally just, I'll go outside, out my door with no shoes on, and I'll walk through the grass and get sunlight in my eyes. And we've got this little exercise workout area in the corner, which again, speaking all this stuff is just crazy to me because I never exercised before this, like very rarely. And now it's a daily thing. And so in wintertime too, I kept it up pretty much, but I missed a few times. But I was going out there barefoot through the snow just to get out there and get that natural sunlight. So that's kind of how the day starts. And then for me right now, I'm actually doing Lion Diet. I did Lion Diet for 60 days. And for those that are listening, Lion Diet is just beef, salt, and water. It's ruminant animals. There's no fish or chicken or bacon or anything like that. It's kind of a more stricter version. For me, I'll usually have a couple of patties or some ground beef, usually around like noon or so. And then maybe around 4 or 5, I'll have a big ribeye or more patties, depending on the day. And I drink water, and that's it. It's so that's one of the amazing things with carnivore that I didn't know going into it. It's so liberating not having to be like, what are we going to eat tonight? And then looking through all the cabinets and coming up with recipes and sauces and spices and got to run to the grocery store for the side dish. It's really that simple. I drink water, I eat meat, and yeah, I'm absolutely thriving. And my sleeping window is getting less and less, but I'm not tired. I wake up and I'm like jumping out of bed. So I think before, when I'm putting the wrong fuel in and the sugars and the seed oils and the inflammation, my body would like putter along. And now it's just like flying along where I don't need as much sleep and my immune system stronger and things like that. So, and now I'm trying to keep a good balance. We're filming this documentary. So we've been traveling all over the world filming for this. And the purpose of the documentary isn't to tell people like, hey, eat meat like me. It's just, I keep hearing these stories on my YouTube channel. So we wanted to highlight the stories of individuals that are doing a proper human diet, eating natural foods. Over the course of 1 year, we have a gentleman from Alaska named Bill Knott. He was 700 pounds stuck in his house for 4 years. It hadn't left. He just hit month 7. He's down over 240 pounds. More important than that, he was hopelessly depressed and he's full of joy right now. He just bought a mountain bike. It's sitting. He's like, as soon as I get outside, at the end of summer is his goal to walk out the door for the first time in 4 years. We're going to fly back and film him doing that. So most of my days are filled with working on the documentary, filming people or editing footage, or doing additional YouTube videos. We use my YouTube channel to kind of a dress rehearsal. There's been a couple of people that have come on my channel. We do a live stream together. Like, they would be good to fly out and film. And that's my buddy Jeff. was diagnosed with stage 4 terminal cancer. He's from Canada, and he's absolutely thriving on carnivore. It was one of the most jaw-dropping things I've learned on this experience. He's using metabolic therapies, fasting, and carnivore diet, and chemotherapy treatments. He needs like less medicine, and he's full of energy. He feels like he's 20 years old. He's like the Energizer Bunny. We followed him around for a week. We did a cold plunge with him. And yeah, so that's my day-to-day is filming for the documentary and getting the word out about proper human diet.
Amazing.
Can we talk about Jeff for a moment? Because I saw that with, you know, me looking into the film, which I'm so pumped for when this project is.
We need it. We need a film like this.
It gets out there. But I started looking into his story, and you guys have an awesome petition going around, which we are definitely going to link to in the show notes here. I made sure I signed it. You know, it's absolutely incredible. And so if you don't mind just giving us a little bit more background on Jeff and that whole story and how all of this ties together.
100%. So for fundraising for our documentary, we did this crazy 10-hour live stream all about carnivore, had all carnivore people come on. We're like, just tell us your story. It seems like carnivores really want to get their story out. And then other people want to hear it because we're kind of off on our own a little bit as carnivores. And then later I decided, let's do a 24-hour live stream. I'm a carnivore. I can stay up all night. Let's go. So we did a 24-hour live stream. And it was crazy. We had Dr. Chafee, Dr. Barry, Dr. Kiltz, Dr. Ovadi. It was just one after the other. And just prior to that, Jeff sent me this email and he said, I have stage 4 cancer. I was deemed inoperable, incurable, terminal. However, I'm absolutely thriving on the carnivore diet. And some of those guys that you're having on that 24-hour live stream, Dr. Chafee in particular, that is my doctor. He's still doing the standard treatment. He's still getting chemotherapy. He's not saying like, oh, carnivore is going to cure cancer. He's not saying that at all. He's just saying as an extra tool in the toolbox, it's helping him immensely. Professor Seyfried, Jeff and I did a video with Professor Seyfried since then. And Professor Seyfried's a cancer researcher. He's been talking about this for 30 years. Professor Seyfried says chemotherapy is more effective and you need less medicine if the body is in a deep state of ketosis, if you're doing metabolic therapies. Jeff, when he first started doing chemo, he was on the standard American diet. He was wiped out like most people are. He was completely wiped out. And after chemo, they'd come around and they'd give him cookies, which it should be illegal. It's just insane. They still do it now. He goes in for chemo treatments every other week. They're bringing around Ensure and cookies. The first 3 weeks, he was having sugar, a standard American diet, and he was suffering. He found carnivore. He went on it, and he's thriving now. He gets out of chemotherapy, and he's like jogging. He's running around. He's a high school coach. And he stopped after he got cancer, but he's been volunteering and going back because he has so much energy. He's got people that see him and they're like, are you sure you have cancer? Like you can't even tell. He's just absolutely full of energy. We went out and filmed him for a week. And on the 24-hour live stream, long story short, Jeff sent me this short video that was just saying he wanted to thank his doctors, in particular, Dr. Chafee. I had Dr. Chafee on. And I said, Dr. Chafee, is it okay if I just show you this clip for a minute? I showed him Jeff's clip and the rest is kind of history. Jeff sent me this big email afterwards. He was crying. He was so joyful. Like, he's like, if I could meet anyone in the whole world, it'd be Dr. Chafee. Like, this guy has done so much for me, or Professor Seyfried. And then, yeah, then we went out and filmed Jeff and filmed his boys and filmed his regimen, his cancer regimen. And the biggest thing I learned from Jeff is if you're diagnosed with cancer, sadly, you're left usually hopeless and without a plan. They'll say you could do chemo and that's it. And there's this metabolic therapy, there's people doing documentaries about this now. Professor Seyfried's been talking about it forever. It can give people hope and you can cure all these other things while you're trying to treat the cancer. That's what Professor Seyfried said. If you got type 2 diabetes, that goes away. The inflammation goes down. Your sleep gets better. Your immune system gets stronger, which is pretty important if you have cancer. So that was the biggest thing with Jeff. We did that cancer petition that you mentioned. Thank you for mentioning that. It's completely free. It's a cancer action plan. We're trying to get 1 million signatures, but the whole thing there was, we just want people, if you're diagnosed with cancer, just have this as an additional tool in the toolbox. We're not telling you to do it. You can do whatever you want. But it's such a shame that so many people are diagnosed with cancer and they never know about metabolic therapy, fasting, and eating a proper human diet. The last thing I'll say on Jeff real quick, sorry, is he full on carnivore. And then he does a 5-day fast every week. He just hit 40 rounds of this. He'll go 5 days, no eating. Does chemotherapy in the middle. And when I got back from filming him, he had this big cancer scan coming up. He's like, I'm going to do an 8-day fast. So I'm like, Jeff, I'm going to do it with you, buddy. We're going to do it in solidarity. We can support each other. So we did it. We both made it 8 days. And I don't want to act like, oh, it wasn't hard, because it was, but I had fasted prior to carnivore and it was a nightmare. The fact that I was in ketosis doing carnivore made it so much easier because I didn't need to get into ketosis. But by day eight, I felt incredible. I was doing pull-ups every day. And I was subsequently doing more and more, which is like, how is it even possible? I don't even understand how that's even possible, but the stamina and energy on carnivore is incredible.
That's awesome.
It's amazing.
It's so interesting that you bring that up, because when we were doing keto, we did multiple fasts. I did multiple day fasts also. The longest I had ever gone was 4 days. And it was more like, I'm bored. I want to hang out with the family on the weekend. Right. I'll break this now. But it's interesting because since then, and since being on carnivore, I never felt the desire to do that. And I'm more out of just personal experimentation and curiosity. I think I may need to do one just to see what that transition is like, because typically doing a keto, those first 48 hours are usually brutal, you know, and once you cross over and make that metabolic switch, things become a lot easier. Right. But, with what you're saying, it makes sense. Being carnivore and making that switch, it's almost like you've already made the switch. You're just taking away food, and that's really it. So interesting.
There's so many benefits, autophagy and cell regeneration and things like that with fasting too. I always go back to, why is this carnivore working? Because I feel like it's a natural thing humans did since the start of time. And if you think like a hunter and gatherer out in the woods behind me, they probably would have hunted a big animal, feasted, and then they probably would have fasted for 3 or 4 days until they could find another animal. It's probably what humans have been doing since the start of time. So I did a 5-day fast with Jeff, and then that 8-day one. I've done a couple intermittent fasting, but that's my plan for next year on carnivore, is to incorporate more fasting. And maybe randomize it a little bit, probably how humans would have done it regularly, maybe 3 days here, maybe 2 days here kind of thing.
I love that.
Well, one interesting thing that I'll just throw out there for you too, to just consider.
And say, we got to get to the homesteading.
I know. I want to get to the homesteading too. I know you really want to get to the homesteading. But before we do, one just quick thing to throw out there for you also regarding autophagy is that since you are exercising, the research does show us that the active resistance training actually does more for autophagy than even fasting. So you being in that routine, and for us, resistance training is the bedrock of what we do, 2 to 3 really hard, intense resistance training workouts per week. In fact, that's all we do for exercise. But that in and of itself is one of the best forms of autophagy that we can utilize, or the best tools that we could use for autophagy, which is also why I haven't felt the need to do any extended fasts, I believe, is because that combination of carnivore and those hard resistance training workouts actually accomplish most of what we're looking for.
That's awesome. I love hearing that too, because that's one of Jeff's big things. He's got his whole regimen, and nutrition is at the top of the list, but exercise is his other huge one. He's a Fayette, a gym teacher for years and years, and he's constantly exercising. Even with his chemotherapy bottle on him, he's out jogging and running around. It's just crazy. So important.
Inspiration. That's amazing. Well, I would love to make this transition into homesteading. The first question I have is, where did you start? Because I think for a lot of people, it feels daunting and overwhelming. And maybe for you in the beginning, it did too.
Yeah, I started on YouTube. We were living in the city, and we wanted to get chickens. And I was doing keto on and off or whatever, but we wanted to get chickens and we couldn't where we lived. And I started watching some YouTube videos of homesteaders. And yeah, kind of long story short, we were able to find a property. I'm self-employed, so I'm like, we can kind of live anywhere. And the further away we got from the city, the cheaper it got. So we found this place, which was a big fixer-upper. And yeah, watching a bunch of YouTube videos. I started my own YouTube channel right when we moved here about 9 years ago, called Homestead How. Learn with us. And I always joke around, I'm like, learn from our mistakes, because we're not claiming to be experts. So we built our goat house was the first thing. Then we got chickens. We built a big greenhouse. We started to try to grow vegetables, which we failed at miserably over and over again, which was probably providence. I got a big garden out there now that's just going to be empty forever. The dogs will run around in there every now and then, but otherwise don't plan on growing any vegetables there. But yeah, the whole thing with the homesteading too is just kind of being self-sufficient and being out there. But there's some really good YouTube channels out there on the topic. Like we were joking a little bit earlier, if you do it, getting chickens is awesome. I absolutely love chickens, obviously, because we eat so many eggs, but they're just entertaining. Even before I was doing carnivore, they're constantly out there working and they're eating the insects. And if you got mosquitoes or ticks or anything like that, they're really hard workers. But nothing better than farm fresh eggs. Just walk outside and grab some eggs and eat them. It's so much better than the store.
Was your wife on board with this, or did it take convincing to bring her along for this journey?
She was pretty much on board. The only reason I hesitate is because the property that we found was just a major fixer-upper. It's beautiful now. People look at it and like, oh, it must be nice. I was like, if you were here 9 years ago, I think like 100 people looked at this place and they're like, nope, don't want to do it. So we had to fix everything up. It's a two family, so we had to live in the other area while we fixed up the, like, all the carpet, the roof needed to be replaced. So we spent about a year fixing it up. So she was hesitant from that, but she was on board with the, we love animals. She loves animals. So getting the goats, she was excited about, getting the chickens, she was excited about. We built a small little dog kennel on our property. So we'll have people that bring their dogs. We don't breed dogs. I always got to say that because people freak out. People that are going on vacation that want to drop their dogs off for the weekend. It's been a fun family business. So yeah, we got animals with the dogs and the goats and the chickens, and my wife loves animals. So we're definitely loving it.
I mean, you started doing this when your girls were young, right?
Yeah. Yeah. 9 years ago, the triplets were 6 or 7 at that time. Yeah. And the cool thing is I've been doing YouTube the whole time, which has its pros and cons, but it's been really fun just for family videos to look back like, whoa, you guys were so little when we moved in here. I've got videos like when we first got here. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
I just think about our two little guys, you know, 9 and 6, and trying to do something like that right now with them. I'm like, whoa, that would be, I mean, we have
lots of fun.
We have the homeschooling part down. Yeah. So it's not like we have to really worry about sending them off anywhere, but
we are self-employed. You know, yeah. We do homeschool our kids. I mean, it kind of is like the perfect scenario, it sounds like, from what Carrie shared.
Yeah, I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, it is tough with the kids. They were really pretty helpful for a lot of it. Like, we would always include them. Like, we built a greenhouse and we got video of them bringing the wood out, and I don't know how much of it's helping paint, like knocking the paint can over and stuff like that, but a lot of it's been kind of good family time together. I'll tell you what, there's nothing better than the farm fresh eggs, but also just being out of the city and with the woods and nature and just being able to go out for a walk and just walk around and do whatever. It's a huge blessing for sure.
It's amazing. I mean, we see all the trees outside the window where you are. It looks absolutely amazing. I guess my biggest question is, if you could go back and do things again, would you do things differently, or what would you do differently for homesteading specifically?
For homesteading? Oh, I would never have started a garden. Even like, we try, and I'm not just joking because I'm carnivore now, but we tried over and over again, year after year, to grow a garden. And the soil here is kind of sandy. A lot of people have this foolish notion on the homesteading front. Like, when we had all this stuff happening in 2020, oh, what if some big thing happens? Oh, I'll just start a garden. That's hilarious to me. People don't understand how hard it is to start a garden. You don't just go out there and put a seed in the ground and get a garden. There's some, even my neighbor, he's a 6th-generation farmer. He's like, it can sometimes take years to amend the soil and get it to where it's growing things. People have this notion, you just put a seed in and put some water and you have some food there. We tried year after year. That was one of my biggest things I would have changed, is just never done that. We wasted so much time and energy. Way more money too. We could have just went to the grocery store and bought this stuff for a fraction of the price, and when you account all the fertilizer and amendments and all this stuff that we had. And then, yeah, the fruits and vegetables I was eating anyways from the store were not treating my stomach very well anyhow. So that's something I would have done differently. What else would I have done? The goats. Oh, that's a big regret, our goats. We love animals, but I mentioned this briefly earlier. We have boy goats and they're just completely... I told my 6th-generation farmer neighbor, we got boy goats, and he just laughed in my face. He's like, what were you thinking? Like, what are you doing? They're completely useless. If you get female goats, you can get goat's milk, and you can make cheese, and there's all sorts of stuff you can do with them. Our goats, they're kind of nice. They have a redeeming quality because we do have an Airbnb rental, which has been awesome. The whole thing with homesteading is to try to become self-sufficient, and we're doing it in kind of a modern way. We make some money from our dog kennel. We make some money from our Airbnb rental. And there's a lot of people that come out here because they want to experience a homestead and they want to get farm fresh eggs and they want to see the goats. So the goats have a redeeming quality in that our Airbnb guests love them. They'll actually take them for walks. It's like this new theme we got going. We're like, our goats, we have 3 goats. They will follow us through the woods better than a dog. They like heal. It's almost annoying at times. They're like, okay, go away now. I just want to go on a walk. So,
but in many ways, they've been a value add.
So yes,
I guess,
yeah.
They've grown on us. They just drive me insane because you have so many projects on the homestead. My daughter Emma and I, as carnivores, we built this huge woodshed and someone kept letting the goats out and they are like climbing all over everything, knocking boards over, and you can't get any projects done if the goats are out. Part of it is our fault too, because we're basically free ranging our goats, which is just stupid. They have a pen to go in a fenced in area, but my wife's always like, oh, let them out. They want to walk around. And
you're just envisioning Mike walking a goat down the street. It'd be kind of funny. What would you say that you're most proud of or happy that you did do?
Homesteading wise?
Yeah.
The chickens and the eggs. Like, I don't think there's anything, well, ribeyes are great too, but what's more nutritious than a farm fresh egg, a legit farm fresh egg? That's one of the things I'm learning too. I've been doing Lion Diet for a little while now. And I seem to have some issues with eggs too, which is like, come on, like, can't I have anything now? And there's some people that have issues with eggs, and I don't understand the science behind all of it, but I think a lot of it is if you feed those chickens grain and the grain has toxins in it or pesticides or glyphosate, a lot of that you're getting in the egg. And our chickens here, they're just eating insects and maybe a mouse or something they catch out there. So the eggs are incredible. That is one of the biggest things I'm happy about. And we've been doing that for like 8 years now, just getting our own eggs. Yeah, the only other thing on the eggs is being organized with it, because we also let our chickens free range. So sometimes it's hard because it's like an Easter egg hunt. You'll look under a tree or something like, oh my goodness, there's 20 eggs under here. What's going on? So you let them free range, they get all the insects and you're getting all the nutrients, but then you got to hunt for the eggs every time too. So
it's hilarious. How many chickens do you have?
Right now we have 9. And I was just talking to one of the triplets, Alyssa. I'm like, I want to get more chickens and I want to do it properly so that we can get 9 are not enough to sustain my family. Because we eat a ton of eggs, and also our Airbnb guests, they love getting the farm fresh eggs. So between us and the guests, there's not enough eggs. So we're about to get a bunch more, and I want to do it properly now. We have an area where they can free range to a good degree, but also where they'll hopefully lay the eggs in one spot so it's not an Easter egg hunt. We got a lot of property here. Like, you'll go out in the woods here. Oh, there's an egg here. There's an egg here. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Got to say, we're pretty lucky because we have a lot of friends who actually have their own chickens, and they're producing a massive number of eggs. So,
and they're generous.
They're very generous, and nice. We are quite honestly the beneficiaries of it for sure.
Very.
So, I mean, if there is one thing that we could do, I think that would be it. Fortunately,
he's already drawn the line.
We live in an HOA. We're not allowed to do any of that stuff where we live. I mean, like, you moving out of the city, we would definitely have to move out of our neighborhood to make this change. So,
not such a bad idea.
I'm okay relying on our friends.
Hey, that's good friends to have. I'm out in the middle of nowhere, and I have trouble getting farm fresh eggs from other people.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the one other thing that I just wanted to touch on, I mean, definitely before we go, talk to us about the movie theater. I mean, I was like fascinated. I'm like, this dude's doing everything, right? Like, he's got the YouTube channel, they're homesteading, and then you go and you purchase a movie theater.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's been about a year and a half now since we purchased a movie theater. We moved to this small town. It's a really small town. One stoplight, 1,400 people, but there's a single screen movie theater. And my wife, Jen, and I have been together since age 14. The first thing we did was go to movies. I've always loved movies. When we have family get-togethers, reunions, we don't even say like, oh, how are you doing? We just like, what movie did you see recently? That's all we ever talk about. And we went to this theater 9-8 years ago when we first moved here. And I was like, this is going to be junky. You get one screen? Like, what? I don't even get to choose. It's like old. But we went there and we fell in love with it. The lady that was running it was picking really cool movies. The sound system, the projector, it was all online with what you'd get at a big theater. And the history in the theater was what really interested me. I really enjoy history. And the building goes back. It was deeded in 1859 before Lincoln was president. And that long story short, with our dog kennel, I wanted to advertise it on the screen. So I approached the owner. This was years ago. I said, can we do a business ad for, that'd be like perfect. Win-win, we'll pay you to put an ad on the screen. She's like, if you can figure it out, you can do it. I have no idea how to do that. So I did some research on YouTube. I figured it out. We did it. And then COVID happened and they were shut down for like 2 years. And we kept driving by. We're like, please open it back up. Everyone in the town was like, I wish they would open it up. There's people that have been going to this theater. We have a woman, she's 87. She's been going since she's 7 years old. It's like generational. Everyone just, it's like an old friend. People just love the theater. So when it was shut down, it's kind of heartbreaking. The previous owner, when I was doing that dog kennel thing, I just planted this little seed with her. I don't even know what I was thinking, but I'm like, if you ever think of selling, I don't know how we would ever afford it or make it work out, but let me know. Well, that's what happened. She told me and we ended up taking it over. And it's been just a huge blessing. It's been amazing. We're running it with our girls. So I don't know what my wife and I are going to do when the girls all go off to college or move out, but they run the whole movie theater, the projector, the concession area, everything. And the craziest thing is it's been amazing. We've got to meet so many people, but just this last weekend on Saturday, I did a Proper Human Diet Healing Humanity meetup. And I'm like, maybe we'll get 10, 15 people because I'm out in the middle of nowhere. Like, we're an hour from Madison. Town of 1,400. Every single seat we offered, all 135 were filled. Well, I should say they were registered for. A few people didn't show up because we did it as a free event, but we had Dr. Tony Hampton, and using technology, which was pretty cool, we streamed him on the big screen and we had a camera aiming back. So you could see Dr. Hampton, Dr. Hampton could see the audience. And we did a whole presentation sharing Jeff DeProspero's story, Bill Knott, people from the thing. But also the really thing that was cool was we had locals in that they were like keto curious, or they didn't even know what carnivore was and they wanted to learn more. Oftentimes I'm preaching to the choir and people that are already doing carnivore. So it was very humbling. We had a family come in from Texas that were watching my YouTube channel. We had people coming in from Indiana, like all over the country. And it was really cool. There were a couple individuals that were, they knew a little bit about keto and they were suffering really bad with inflammation, depression, anxiety. And they're doing it now. They're like trying it after watching this thing. So it spurred on a thing where we're like, we're going to do this more. We're probably going to be going around the country to do more meetups, hopefully at different movie theaters in a similar format.
So cool.
That's awesome. And I love that, you know, you're using the platform and the resources you have available to get the message out, which is incredible. And I'm sure, you know, the first screening of Healing Humanity is going to be on that screen.
100%.
You're going to have the place packed. I am absolutely certain of it.
Well, I just mentioned that to Dr. Hampton, too. I'm like, you're on the big screen now. This is a good dress rehearsal because he's in the documentary. We've already professionally filmed him. And I told him, he's like, I got to get my wife to come up here with me. I'm like, your name is going to be on the marquee. It's going to say Healing Humanity starring Dr. Hampton. So you're going to have to come and watch it here when we premiere it, which we're hoping to do next year. So
definitely have to let us know. That would be really fun.
That would be awesome.
Make your Airbnb is available and hang out with the ghost.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our boys would love that.
They really would.
They would.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, Carrie, this has been an awesome conversation. And, you know, as we said at the top, like we can really appreciate the work that you're doing, the reason behind what you're doing. It's inspiring. It's building people up, which is what we're all about. So we love it and just continue to do this great work and talk to everybody about where they could find you, your YouTube channel, website, all of it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to share this with you guys and your audience. If people want to learn more, we have a website. It's healinghumanity.movie. Healinghumanity.movie. The thing I'm proud about with our documentary is it's completely crowdfunded. So many of these documentaries, you guys have talked about some of these like on Netflix, you look at it and they're sponsored by Beyond Meat or some company and there's some huge bias. I keep saying it's our documentary because it's completely crowdfunded. I put thousands of dollars of my own money into it, but every money we get from donations goes 100% towards the documentary. None of it goes in my pocket. So we're selling shirts there and stuff like that. Everything goes towards the documentary. But if anyone is interested in participating, we're still taking participants. We have Bill Knott, Jeff. We have Maggie, who's an 82-year-old rancher from Canada. She's been eating a proper human diet for 65 years. She's incredible. But we're still filming more people. So if anyone watching is interested in sharing their story, if they're thinking about doing a proper human diet, you can just register for free at healinghumanity.movie. And then on YouTube, it's Homestead How. I got to change the YouTube name because I still do homesteading videos every now and then, but it's mostly carnivore, proper human diet, a little bit of the movie theater, but Homestead How is the YouTube channel.
Awesome. We'll be sure to link those in the notes. And we appreciate your time. We appreciate how you are building people up in the world. And we look forward to having you back another time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in. If you're a busy working parent like us, you understand the daily challenges. Our mission is to make exercise and nutrition simple and exciting, helping you and your family thrive even on the busiest days. We've got a fantastic free 5-day online challenge that's tailor-made for super busy people like you.
If you like a high-vibe workout environment with professional coaching, swing by one of our franchise studios for a free intro workout.
Check the show notes for details or head on over to purephysique.com when you have a moment. We know those moments are rare.
Until next time, lift weights, eat meat, and never forget, you were created on purpose for a purpose.
Don't get boy goats like we did. That was a big mistake.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.